Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So hello and welcome to another episode of the Beer Ladies podcast. We are so glad you're back for our second season and we are off and running. I'm Lisa and I'm your host today and I have three wonderful co-hosts with me. I have Katie, Carolyn, and Erica. Say hi everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Yay. Now before we go around with what are we drinking and dive into our topic today, do want to encourage everyone to like, subscribe, leave reviews. We really appreciate it. It does help. And you can find us on pretty much at Beer Ladies Podcast almost everywhere, except where we had to shorten it to at Beer Ladies Pod. But you can get us all the places you get your podcasts, on your Spotify's, on all your podcatchers, and of course on YouTube. And so for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you can see us in all of our Oktoberfest glory. Ah. So we are talking Oktoberfest, but we're also talking beer festivals in general. But, you know, if you've got the stuff, you have to have the excuse to break these things out. So again, for those of you watching on video, you can see all of this. For those of you just listening, we'll put some pictures up on the socials. So do go check us out there again at Beer Ladies Pod or at Beer Ladies Podcast in most places. So come find us. So with all of the pleasantries out of the way, we'll go around with what are you drinking? So Katie, let's start with you.
So I struggled to find an Oktoberfest beer, but I've gone German. I am drinking a Weisser Hirsch, which is a Weissenhell.
Very nice.
And I love these bottles with the flip cap.
They make you, with flip cap.
They make you feel like you're in, I don't know, like the 1850s, drinking back your
very
beer.
True.
It's a lovely Hefeweizen. It's delicious. I have my Stein.
Very nice.
Which was acquired from a legitimate supplier to the Oktoberfest.
Legitimate supplier. It's really too big to just stick in a purse, isn't it? I mean, you really wouldn't want to smuggle those home.
You kind of have to plan your strategy, that. And make sure it's like you're
absolutely
about to go back to the hotel or your tent or wherever you're going back to straight afterwards. Because they're heavy as well, you know?
Oh,
they're
definitely.
They're sturdy. Yeah.
They really are. They really are. Wonderful. And Carolyn, how about yourself? What have you got?
I'm drinking an Icelandic white ale with coriander and orange peel. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I don't even know how to say it. I'm not going to butcher it. It's brewed from Iceland, but I think it's distributed out of California. So this is the one that I'm drinking. Pretty good.
Yeah, I've liked their stuff. And we'll put links in the show notes. And of course, we'll have it on the socials when we drop this episode. And how about yourself, Erica?
So I've got Erdinger Oktoberfest Weissbrau. And it has a colorful label with the Bavarian flag colors of blue and white, as well as a woman wearing dirndl and a man wearing lederhosen and lots of proper glassware. And it's one that I had on tap in Paddle Appeal a couple of autumns ago. On tap. So
wonderful. And I've also gone for one of the traditional ones. I have a Weinsteffner Fest beer. Although again, possibly surprising for some of our North American listeners, it is not easy to find fest beers, at least so far this year in Ireland. They're just not making their way here, although I did find them at Martin's over in Fairview for those in Dublin, and it's a lovely sort of pale gold color. And I'm, again, for those just listening, I'm showing it. It's in a boot from a different different Oktoberfest. It's the same one I got the hat for. It's Lucky Envelope Brewing in Seattle. They have a lovely moving Oktoberfest that goes from brewery to brewery to brewery over there, and these are part of the package. You get to take it home. It's not just a thing you walk out with. But that said, it's strangely difficult to find Oktoberfests here. They are certainly all over North America by this time of the year. And again, probably there's, you know, so many people of German heritage that they just make them there. And we'll talk really briefly about some of the differences between the ones you get in Germany and the ones you tend to get in North America. But it's very interesting to me that it's kind of hard to find. And again, shout out to Martin's for having a couple. And I know that Beer Cloud, but again, they're not sponsoring us or anything. We just like them because they're really nice and they do a great job. We'll have all of the big six Oktoberfests ready in a box, hopefully in a couple weeks' time. So
is that, that's the Beer Club?
The Beer Club, yes. Sorry, not Beer Cloud, but they're also wonderful. So
yeah, they're both wonderful.
They are. So yes, so the Beer Club will have their big six Oktoberfest box. So looking forward to that. And again, they're not sending it to us for free or anything. They're just really nice and we appreciate them getting it. So with that said, I'll do a very quick history. What is Oktoberfest? Why do we do this? So I wrote an article a few years back for Serious Eats about Oktoberfest. And I think most people are probably vaguely aware that it did start off as something to do with the wedding parties. So when I have to go back and see which prince it was. So Prince Ludwig I of Bavaria, when he got married in 1810, October 12th, 1810, you know, the whole city decided to throw a party to celebrate the posh people because, you know, why not? That's what you do. Again, for Irish listeners, you may know him better as the guy who Lola Montez was having an affair with for many years, but also Oktoberfest. So
I don't know who Lola Montez is.
She was a famous courtesan, and she pretended to be Spanish, but she was Irish. She's a fascinating woman. Definitely look her up. But, you know, her big thing was having fancy rich men across Europe, you know, kind of be her sugar daddy, and fair play to her. She earned a living that way. But, yeah, so when we actually start to sort of see Oktoberfest kicking off, it actually starts off with horse racing as one of the big sort of draws. That's what people came into, and they didn't add the food and drink stalls as a regular part of things until 1818. But then beginning in 1887, so again, this is kind of off and on, that's when we start to get the traditional lederhosen and dirndls as kind of your attire at Oktoberfest. And again, you actually get the permanent beer halls again in Munich starting in 1896. So that doesn't really, you know, it takes a while for a lot of these things that are very much part and parcel of the modern Oktoberfest to really come into being. But I mean, of course, now it's almost like a St. Patty's Day kind of thing. Everyone has an Oktoberfest every year everywhere in the world. One of the biggest is in Brazil. So they are everywhere, all over the place. But I think, again, one of the interesting things, I think, Caroline, you mentioned it before, is that Oktoberfest in Germany, and I'm showing mine again, tends to be very pale, very light golden, tend to be a little lower in alcohol, whereas some of the ones you get in North America tend to be a sort of sweeter, maltier, usually a little bit of a darker amber, and they tend to be higher in alcohol, so you may not want to have 3 liters of an American Oktoberfest, or you may have certain regrets. So I don't know, Caroline, we'll start with you. And any favorites
In Texas, we have Oktoberfest in New Braunfels, which is very Czech and German influenced area of Texas. And I actually looked it up. It started in 1961. The Ed Gris was the city meat inspector and created a festival in honor of sausage. And then 1963 is when they started Oktoberfest. So it runs for 2 weeks. It's right near my college town. So, of course, the downside is when you're older, there's a bunch of drunk college kids running around. Also, we don't do beer steins. We do pitchers plastic pitchers, because if anybody drops them, they don't have to clean up glass. So, it's But it's fun. I like, I'm going this year. It's always fun to go. They always have sausage, and then they have typical Texas stuff as well on the menu. But they do a good job of adding German influences, such as the hearts, the cookie hearts, and I don't know what they're called.
I know so what you mean. Yeah, the cookie hearts. Yep.
Yeah, and so they do it, and like they do a good job of adding the and everybody, all the workers are dressed mostly in German attire, lederhosen or dirndls. So there you go.
Very nice.
Excellent. I also have been to Oktoberfest and I enjoyed it. The one in Munich.
Same. It is an experience I would highly recommend to people to do at least once in your life.
Excellent. Is there? Did you either of you have a favorite tent, or do you kind of just, does it all blur together after a while?
Well, I was told that it's very hard to get into tents if you don't have a table. So my aunt's friend got a table. So we were in the Polliner tent.
Very nice.
So that was fun.
And I was not that organized at all. Landed over going, oh, crap, we need to be in a tent. or they don't serve you unless you're sitting down.
Right.
I think we went on the very start. I can't even remember what year it was. It's about 20 years ago. And I think after the first day and the weekend, so we were there during the week and it was fine. And they even have like family days where you can bring your children into the tents and stuff. Now, you can't have them if it's not family day, obviously, because there's drunken people flying around the place. But yeah, it was after we went midweek. Well, we arrived at the weekend, but we stayed. I think we flew back on like a Thursday. So it was fine midweek for us to not have booked a table and just rock up somewhere and find a place to sit.
Nice.
And we were but now I wanna, of about six. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I want to go back and go to Germany and do like some of the smaller beer festivals around that time. I think that'd be like the more local ones. I feel like that'd be fun.
Yeah. Because you can only get the six beers that are brewed in Munich at the Oktoberfest. So if you think of it as something like, you know, the Great British Beer Fest or a Brewers Fest in the US, you don't have all of these little styles and a little tasting glass. You're very restricted as to what you can drink.
Yeah, and absolutely. Eat. Yeah. Although again, I would welcome some pretzels. That would be fantastic. I think again, business opportunity. Anyone in Ireland, soft pretzels, you know, you'll make a killing, you know, put them in a pub, salty.
There's a bunch of Americans that want soft pretzels.
Yes, please.
That too.
Absolutely. I love
it. I got, when I was there, I got, they sell chickens, and I don't know if they cook them in butter or something. So you had a hard day's on the Steins, you know, and it arrives, and it is probably a heart attack waiting to happen, but it is delicious. It was the nicest chicken I have ever tasted. And then they serve your wurst as well there. Oh, it was lovely. Everything was amazing.
Yeah. How about yourself, Erica?
Well, I think I mentioned this last season that I grew up near one of the largest German populations. So in Minnesota, there's a town that is 66% of German ancestry. And I think that's the most per capita.
Oh, wow.
Per capita in the U.S. And I'm going to be going back to Minnesota and to Colorado in a few weeks for a holiday. So we'll be having lots of Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers and going to Shell's Brewery, which is the second oldest family run brewery in the U.S., founded in 1860. Before I would have turned 21 and been able to have beer, would have enjoyed like the live music. Like we learned polka dancing in school, the schnitzel and currywurst, the costumes, the decorations. And then as an adult, I spent a lot of time living in Boston. So like Harpoon and Sam Adams had their own festivals. And one of my favorite Oktoberfests was actually at the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore. It was called Oktoberfest, and they had a little polar bear logo. But I'm in the throes of planning my 14th trip to Germany, and I kind of have an unpopular opinion that I really don't like crowds and have no desire to go to Oktoberfest itself. And this was even before COVID. I kind of like more of a quiet, low-key pub where I can maybe practice German and learn more about the history and culture than be in a really loud environment.
Absolutely. And I've only been to Munich in the, you know, in the off season. So I've been to all of the beer halls, you know, the sort of the bits that they extend the tents out of, but it's been, you know, very low key, very calm. Although of course, you know, that was still very much for the tourists where they'd have the bands and all of that kind of thing. But at least it was a little more, I don't want to say introspective, but definitely a little bit more low key. And so you could try different things. And because it wasn't Oktoberfest too, you could have all the other seasonal beers, not just the Fest beer, but or the Märzen, depending on. But I've definitely been in the spring and had some really lovely, like Maibocks and Keller beers, and just really, really nice to have some of that variety. Which like you're saying, Katie, that's not what you get at Oktoberfest. It's just going to be, you know, what you get from each tent, and off you go, and you'll like it. So I mean, you will like it. It's delicious.
Oh, you do like it. It is delicious. It is so delicious.
Absolutely.
And I would. You were in your intro, you were talking about tips for going to festivals.
Yes.
If anybody is going, I would urge them to learn a very complicated little German song called "Ein Prosit," and it basically goes "Ein Prosit, der Gemütlichkeit," and then it just keeps repeating that over and over and again. But you can totally impress your friends because they will play it, and everybody starts singing it with their steins. And I think it just means it's like a toast to all of our well-being and stuff like that. Yeah. But
we're all due, right? You know, there we are.
So it's literally four words. You can do that if you ever go there. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've got, I'm just showing the camera. I've got my little Oktoberfest t-shirt on too. So it looks like Lederhosen, but this is from, again, the sort of moving Oktoberfest I mentioned before, which happens in Seattle in the Ballard neighborhood, where you go from brewery to brewery. And it's nice because it's both a mix of just kind of sheer sort of bacchanalia, but you can also bring your kids. There's activities. And the pro tip there is to stay sort of one stop ahead of where the Oompa band is, because as soon as the band rolls in, it all kicks off. But if you're kind of one brewery ahead, it's very chill. Kids can play at the kids' games. You can get things like, you know, this lovely boot and the hats and all kinds of fun stuff as you carry on. But it's nice that it really does have that kind of community feel where, you know, everyone is welcome. Everyone just sort of turns up. And they do kind of, again, cheat a little bit more. You can get all your Fest beers, but you can also get whatever other thing is there. It's just that if you get your Fest beer, you usually get a boot like this or a Stein or something else just to take home. So it's a nice... it's just a nice way of doing it. And it's definitely a festival I miss because it was a lot of fun. And I think, you know, they do a good job and it's just really well organized. But I think with that said, we want to talk about other beer fests too, and kind of some of our favorites, some maybe that we've seen, things we don't like. And I think we want to really, you know, have a sort of that sort of cautious eye too, that you have to have when you're a woman attending a beer fest, because sometimes you just gotta have your wits about you, even if you're in a group. But that said, who wants to lead off? Does anyone have a favorite festival that they really enjoyed and hope is coming back, or even something where you're like, wow, this went south?
I'll start off. A couple years ago, I went to ABV Fest, which was in Belfast, and it was held in a really beautiful historical church. And I found that the staff were really friendly. There was plenty of water. There were timed entrances, and they had really good food options, so you could stay hydrated and kind of coat your stomach. I think I had like a mac and cheese burger with McKellar beer in it. I think they stopped running it just before COVID hit anyway, but it was nice to be able to talk to the brewers and learn something about those specific beers, and just to have almost like a family friendly atmosphere. Like it was like quiet enough. And yeah, I guess for my personality, that was like a little more Yeah, easygoing, I guess.
Yeah. And I think like what you're saying, I think timed entry really can make a big difference of keeping the crowds a manageable size so that you can actually talk to people and not feel like it's just a kind of moving disaster. But definitely. How about you, Carolyn?
Well, because I've only really been to Oktoberfest and Wurstfest. I mean, they're both different. The problem I have with Wurstfest is that they don't have a lot of Oktoberfest beers. I think they have like Shiner, which is a Texas-based beer. They have Shiner Bock Oktoberfest, but like they'll have like IPAs and they'll have like Coors Light or Miller's Light. That's great, but like it's great if you're day drinking. Let me put it like that. If you're day drinking, you obviously want the, and your goal is to get drunk, then you want the one that you can easily drink. But I wish, I have not been in a couple years, so hopefully this year they'll have some more options and maybe some more Oktoberfest beers. That would be fun. I don't like that it's always packed. And I mean, I went to school 30 minutes from there, so there's always a bunch of drunk college kids, me being one of them at one point in time. But now that I'm older, I'm like, can we go earlier in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's when you, that's like, when you know you're getting old, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're like, and we have to pre-book to get a seat because I'm not standing all night.
Yeah. Well, no, oh, you don't pre-book seats here. Like you, it's a free for all. If you find a table, you better grab it and have somebody go get your beers or whatever you need because you'll lose it. So.
Yeah.
I prefer to day drink nowadays.
Which is more low key, right? I mean, it's all good. Yeah, having that table is important. How about you, Katie?
Oh, I think one of the more memorable festivals I've had was an Oktoberfest. It was in a tiny little town called Taibe in the West Bank in Palestine.
Oh,
I was living in Jerusalem at the time. And my husband and kids, all, I think our youngest would have been 5 or 6 at the time. So we all set off on our trek from Jerusalem. We got a bus to Ramallah. It was a regular big bus.
Yeah.
And then we ended up on like a smaller little mini bus from Ramallah out to Taibe. And it was really cool. So yeah, it was a trek getting there and a trek getting home as well. The brewers are a Christian family, so obviously other religions that live in the West Bank, most of them don't drink, most of the people, but it's a family run brewery. They have a great day. They have entertainment for the children. They have balloons and face painting, and you can try all of their range, and they have like local crafts from people living in the West Bank, and it was absolutely lovely day out. And then it's like you're at the thing, and then every now and again they'll say, okay, who wants to go for a tour of the brewery? And you walk down the road past a goat or whatever, and they bring you in and go, this is our brewery.
Oh,
and it's there. There was, yeah, there's lots of goats.
And were the kids allowed inside?
The children?
Yeah,
it was all outdoors.
Okay.
Because the weather is nice.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was in September, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
So not too hot. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was lovely. It was lovely. There were lovely food options. It was great. So that was definitely the most memorable. I like, I've been to the Oregon Brewers Fest.
Oh, me too. Yes.
Yeah. I love that. That's big, big, big business.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one too, because it is family friendly as well, although there's so much, like just the scale of it is so big that it's nice you can go in and out, and yes, you can take the kids, but it's also kind of like, it's so big, do you necessarily want to? Like it's a lot to, you know, you don't want to have, you know, like 30 tastings when you're trying to, watch your
trying
kids.
Trying to make sure a 6-year-old doesn't run off and, you know. Yeah. And I wasn't there with children at the time, so I don't actually remember what kind of activities they had or anything like that for children.
I feel like there were a couple, but they were like they were sort of age appropriate for neither kid at that point. So one was like whatever, and the other one was too small. Is like so
yeah,
missed the mark. But again, they tried. I mean, it was good that you could do that, and you could again wander in and out, which was nice. But it's still a lot. So I'm a little bit, I don't know, wary of some of the family friendly brewers festivals or brewing festivals, with the exception of one or two Oktoberfests where I know there is something to do, and it's not the kind of scene where people are just like going to try 50 different beers, because then even if you're still being responsible, other people are not, just because of the sheer number. So it's one of those things you have to kind of keep an eye out for. And again, I think, Carolyn, your point about tables, I can think of a couple festivals I've been to where that's where I've had kind of, a couple of not so great experiences of sort of having to share a table with people, which should be fine, but having a couple kind of creeper dudes at those tables where you're just like, really? And again, if you're there with friends or, especially either with, male friends, et cetera, there's someone usually there to be like, maybe lay off, but people have had a couple drinks and they start to feel like you're their best friend. You're like, no, dude. And again, I've never had anything that felt like it was a dangerous situation necessarily, but definitely things where I was like, Spidey sense is off. And now I have to leave this table because there's a weird guy here and annoyed that, I'm the one who had to leave. So
I think if they have a good security team, then they would be astute to kind of see and hear what's going on and help take care of that.
Absolutely.
Another point I think for women attending festivals is to kind of have a buddy with you and, make sure that there are ample bathrooms with toilet paper and just kind of practical stuff. And just, waiting around and making sure that your friend is safe.
Definitely. Even I will say I've had some wonderful experiences. Seattle has this Women in Beer Festival that is phenomenal, just really, really good. But again, you want to be mindful of your surroundings and just it's a pretty big festival. And I think I've almost always gone alone, but I've always at least known enough people there that you can kind of, keep an eye out. And even if you're not kind of with someone, you're still kind of in someone's line of sight, if you like. But again, you want to be mindful of, am I eating enough? Am I drinking enough water? You have to be, thoughtful about that kind of thing. And I think one of the big things I've learned kind of over the years is if you don't like something, you can pour it out. You don't have to finish the sample of the 9% beer that you're like, this wasn't my thing. Don't be precious about it. Yes, someone made it and it may be fantastic for someone, but if it's not for you, don't feel bad about pouring it out, getting some water, taking a break. I think it's important to pace yourself at these things, and it can feel sometimes, again, if it's a big festival, if there's 70 tables and you want to try something from all of them, that adds up. So you got to be,
Yeah, I would say a pointer for that is if they have a really good printed out program, then you can kind of pick and choose and prioritize where you want to go, what you want to drink, and then take advantage of any free samples and maybe make notes in your Untappd or take photos of what you want to go back to, and always have a plan of like how you're getting home. Like ideally it would be in a place that's accessible to public transport or would have enough taxis.
I actually just remembered this. I went to a beer festival in Ukraine. I went to a beer festival in Ukraine. I was visiting my friend. She's like, there's this beer fest going on. Do you want to go? And I was like, of course I want to go. So I remember that being a lot of fun. Of course, it was helpful to have somebody that spoke Ukrainian because not everybody speaks English. And Ukrainian, I've tried to learn.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Very, very hard. I've tried.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So that one was fun because it was just something different. I mean, it was still like a similar concept, but it was just I got to try different beers. I don't remember what I drank, but I remember the meat good. So.
Yeah. Oh, nice. And so that's, you don't get much of that. I wonder though, if I went to one of my, you know, local Eastern European markets, if there would be more Ukrainian beer. There's, you know, certainly Polish beer. I wonder. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've been to a beer fest. So I was at the Great British Beer Festival 1 year as well. Have you been to that, Lisa?
I've never been to the Great British or Great American, neither one. So
I just found you have to pick and choose because there's just so much there. You are not going to get to try.
Even
like, I don't know, like a tenth of the beers.
Yeah.
But it's a great one for cask. Cask. Like, it's not specifically cask, but they will have a cask area.
Yeah.
Which never made it, well, isn't in Ireland really at the moment, cask.
Not at the moment, no. I was hoping there would be more back, but not yet.
I think maybe once things open up more, like the Galway Bay pubs and JW Sweetman's and the Underdog would have some. I was going to say about kind of what's important to you to be drinking. We went to Hagstravaganza in Ballymote, Sligo a couple years ago, and I picked out all the milkshake IPAs because that's one of my favorite styles. I know I'm weird that way. A lot of people don't like them, but I just stuck to that. So I wasn't really going for crazy high ABVs or large volumes. Like, I was really pacing myself, and also I think it's important to have like non-alcoholic options there.
Oh yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were a couple of festivals I used to go to back in Philadelphia. There's actually a wonderful cask festival in Philadelphia that Yards has, the Yards Real Ale Festival, which is great. And again, they have good food, things like that. I used to go to a cask festival in Seattle too, which was great for the cask, but almost no food and not even stuff that you could like, yes, you could bring things in from outside, but I'm also like, you know, guys, and granted things were lower ABV by US standards, but still, like, you want to have more than like some pretzels and like hard pretzels, not like at least something with some heft to it. And I always thought, like, could you not just get a vendor in, just someone to have, you know, cheese or just anything, so it's not just like carbs on carbs on carbs. And I can remember getting into conversation with a woman at this was specifically at one of the Seattle Cask Fests, who was like, I've saved all my calories so I can just drink. I haven't eaten anything today. I was like, oh, honey, no. This is a bad idea. And then I felt like I had to like follow her around and be like, are you with someone? Like, just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pro tip. Eat food.
Eat food. Yes.
Be smart.
I think that's an advantage of the Big Grill, which was in Herbert Park as well, because a huge portion of the festival is the barbecue side of it. So they've got loads of food options, not just the craft beer. And I find if you're kind of going from craft beer to craft beer, like you can kind of get a headache or a stomach ache. So yeah, I would say kind of being mindful of that, and then planning maybe tokens, or do they have a card reader, or just knowing how you're going to buy, and maybe, okay, it's 5 p.m. I should have something now.
And the Big Grill is a really family-oriented.
It is. Yeah. They have games and music, and the couple of times that I've been there, I was just really impressed with how it was run, and a few of these festivals have either been virtual or postponed to 2022 and beyond. So yeah, I would like to see some of those back.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
I have my tickets for Fidelity, which was canceled this year.
Yes, so for next year now. So hopefully that will happen in 2022. Fingers crossed. I'm really, really hoping. I've not been to a previous Fidelity, so this will be my first time, but really hoping it's gonna be good.
Here too. And I think it's cool that it's all inclusive. So you know, like, you're not having to buy beer once you get there. It's with your ticket. And the Mansion House is just a gorgeous venue as well.
Yeah, and that can really add something, like the ambiance of this of where it is, if it's not just kind of not just in a tent, which is can be fine, like we're talking about Oktoberfest. But one of my favorite beer festivals, and it's gone through a lot of different names, was in Philadelphia, and it would be at the Penn Museum. And so it's in just a beautiful, one of the beautiful Asian galleries, and you're surrounded by sort of golden Buddhas, and it's just an amazing room. Now, also problematic because colonialism, but it's a beautiful room. And I you know, went to many, many different iterations of that festival and met Michael Jackson on a number of occasions. He was always so nice and so lovely. Mm. And I think, again, that's the big bit of getting to talk to people.
Sure.
Especially people who are just so in the industry and so kind of revered, someone like him. But I always got a very, very friendly vibe. I never had, and I know some people run into the things where they'll go to a stand and they'd be like, you know, only talking to, you know, someone's male partner or that kind of thing. Yeah. I've never had that happen. I've seen it happen to other people. So I know it happens, but I've been lucky enough that it's never happened to me because I would just be like, really? Like, come on. But I think, again, I've been fortunate that at least at that time, sort of, you know, early 2000s, it was just very, very inclusive. And you felt like people did want to kind of cultivate new, you know, new customers, if you like, they, you know, from anywhere. They didn't want to cut anyone out. And I don't know that I don't think people are trying to do that necessarily. But again, you see that come up at festivals. And that's always something where you're like,
sure,
why, you know, just be thoughtful.
Yeah. I think there is a female festival, like FEM-ALE down in Cork at Franciscanwell. Yeah, I would have gone to that if they'd had it again. But I think that was a lot of female speakers and, you know, leaders in the industry and women-led breweries. So that would be more of like a themed one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the themed ones are so interesting too, whether it's kind of who's doing the brewing or, you know, if it's an all like, you know, thinking about in Germany, there's also the Strong Beer Festival in, I think it's in March, which I don't know that I could do. I think it would be, I'd have like one or two and then I'd be out for that. But I've also been to kind of almost accidentally like one or two Sourfests, and I love a goza, but I can't have, you know, even just in sample size, I can't have like 10 or 12 of them, but you know, if it's like 40 different stalls, I'm like, guys, I can't do it. I'm glad this is here for all y'all who love it, but it's just like, my digestive system does not want that. So, there's something for everyone, but, you know, I think again, you want to kind of be mindful of, especially if you're buying tickets for it, is it something you really want to, you know, kind of invest in? And I think now, and I'm curious how you all feel about this too. I think now that, you know, we've seen more and more, especially with the Great American Beer Festival happening this past week, you know, we've seen a couple of breweries kind of lauded for their beer, but we know that they've been bad actors behind the scenes in at least a few cases. And I don't feel great about that. And it's like, as a consumer, what can you do to kind of, apart from not buy it, you know, because if you go to a festival, they're there or they're not. And in some cases, festivals are going to, you know, take a stand and say, hey, you know, we've seen brewery X or brewery Y do a bad thing. We don't want you guys here, but who's the right person to step up? And I don't know if there's a good answer, but.
Yeah, I would say with a lot of the stories on Instagram coming out about employees being racist or sexist or homophobic, there's definitely a space to share stories and to learn maybe which breweries you might want to boycott. But I think, sadly, a lot of those people like wouldn't feel comfortable being super open and transparent. You know, they might be using a pseudonym. But I'm glad that the awareness is there, because I think it's been boiling under the surface for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And it's certainly a little bit of a different thing with either GABF or GBBF, where they're also just giving medals out. So that's part of it, but not, you know, there's also the sort of tasting element of it. And it's, again, kind of as a consumer, you only know what you know. Like, you may not know that Brewery X did terrible thing Y, or
sure,
you know, is alleged to have. So, you know, it can be tricky, because you want to support the industry and you want to support people in it. Mm-hmm. And there may be fantastic people who work for Brewery or Bar X or Y. You know, it's not their fault necessarily. So how do you balance that? But I think especially exactly. In that festival setting, it can be hard to kind of, I'm trying to think what's a good word, sort of be able to kind of exercise that consumer judgment. Because at least if you're not buying it, you're not buying it. But if they're at a festival, you know, do you just not try it? Like, again, you're not doing anything, in air quotes, meaningful, but you can kind of at least still have the conversation sometimes with people.
Yeah, I think that's important, is just to kind of pass along that knowledge and have discussions with others. And maybe we will eventually see change in the next few years.
Yeah, and I will say, I think some of the recent things coming out have meant that now that festivals are starting up again, people are on, let's say, broadly better behavior at these kind of very public settings. At least I've not heard anything terrible coming out from the festivals that have happened so far. But again, you tend to hear about these things very much after the fact. But I think it's, again, kind of as a bigger consumer, you always have to kind of keep an eye out, like, oh, do I want to support X or Y? And then it just gets so hard too, because at a certain size, like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, so it's tricky. Although I think there's the flip side too, because there are big breweries making great beer and you want to go to a festival and try these things.
True.
And it's, you know, the FOMO is real when it comes to a festival.
Yeah, for sure. You had mentioned Märzen beer earlier, and I was wondering if we could circle back to that.
Absolutely.
Because I believe back in, was it the 12th of October, 1810, when the German Oktoberfest first started, Märzen beer actually became the official beer of the festival. And eventually it was sort of an annual festival to celebrate agriculture. And I think it shifted from October to September to kind of coincide with the hops harvest. But the Märzen is called a March beer, and it was illegal to brew beer between the 23rd of April and the 29th of September. So to prepare for those long summers, the brewers were producing large quantities to last them until the autumn. So I just thought that was interesting, because I'm sure it's a bit different now with climate change and Oktoberfest happening in other countries. But like, there weren't really Oktoberfest beers as a term until 1872, and that would have been Spaten, who were the first brewery to coin that terminology.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting thing too, because, you know, at least per BJCP, they're all the same. But I feel like, and I could be wrong about this, but I feel like, at least like in North America, your Märzens do tend to be more on the maltier, sort of sweeter side, while your kind of Oktoberfests tend to be a little bit lighter, but not necessarily. I mean, it was with all these things, there's so much variation. And, you know, from Pennsylvania, Victory makes a fest beer that's one of my favorite things in the world, but it's definitely on that sort of you know, darker, sort of sweeter end of the spectrum. And you know, again, some of these, do they cross into kind of Vienna lager territory? Probably. So it's an interesting thing though, because I do feel like, to an extent, more maybe on over here on the European side of the Atlantic, like the Oktoberfests tend to be the lighter, more golden versus the kind of, you know, more amber lagers. But again, it's not 100%.
Yeah, and I think back when Dublin had an Oktoberfest, I want to say Erdinger were kind of one of the sponsors.
Yeah.
It took place down in George's Dock, but it was something that kind of fizzled out pre-COVID.
Do we
want to list the six breweries that are kind of the exclusive official?
Let's do it. So we have
we'll do a competition. Oh, Weinsteifener won, though. I didn't think Weinsteifener was one.
No, and Erdinger isn't either. No.
So but Spaten is, yes.
Spaten,
yes.
Hofbräu, yep.
Augustinier, yeah.
Yep.
I have Hacker Schorr.
Paulaner.
Yep.
And who's the last one?
I think it's Loughborough.
Loughborough, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, good job, everyone. You guys are smart. Now, I had to think about that for a while. I have a little Hofbräu sort of stoneware cup, but little, like literally, it's like the size of a thimble, and it's adorable. But you're not going to drink much out of it.
No, and it's funny because when I went to that Hofbräu house in Munich, and you sit with people that you don't know, the people across from me were wearing a Minnesota jumper.
Oh, how funny.
So, like, we're from the same place. And then we got talking about the big Catholic farming communities. And
oh, wow.
Both of my parents have German roots. And I've done 23andMe. So yeah. I can actually see in Bavaria, like where my heritage is from. And it's kind of like a third home to me at this stage. But
I also have a story from the Hofbräu house when I was there. So yeah, you talk about these, you just have big bench tables where you just end up sitting with complete randomers. And we were sitting with a bloke and his girlfriend, and he was German. They were both German, and he was like really nervous. And we were like, is there something dodgy going on there? And then she went to the bathroom, right? And he was like, I'm going to propose to her tonight. Oh. Yeah! And he was shitting bricks, like getting ready for this. And we were like, oh my God, you have to do it. And what do you want us to do? Oh. Yeah. So we got them to shout it out over the system.
Oh, that's adorable.
And then he asked her, and then we all bought him beer. I don't know. Maybe this was a stunt. Was this a stunt? I hope not.
If he was acting nervous the whole time, I don't think so.
Yeah. And he was visibly nervous. Aww. You know, yes. It was so
cute. Did she say yes?
That's the real
question. Okay.
Oh, how sweet. That's amazing.
The location is lovely just for if you want to just strike up a conversation with someone, anyone, you know?
And for our listeners who aren't on YouTube, Katie is wearing dirndl and she has her hair in pigtails with a background of Zoom that looks like a German beer hall. And I was wondering, do you guys like to buy merch when you're at a festival? Is that important
that's
to
a
have
good question.
Shirts or glassware or bags?
I do like to have it. But then I sometimes come home with things I didn't anticipate buying.
We are going to need an example of what you have brought home that you didn't anticipate buying.
The biggest thing for me is usually t-shirts that would never fit me. So I'll come home with like a big, like men's fit, like shirt. I'm like, it was the only one they had. And I'm like, but did I need this? You know, maybe not. So again, I love a festival where they have, where it's size inclusive, where it's, you know, men's and women's fits. Even the ones that have like kid sizes, fantastic. Let's do the whole thing. But I've definitely come home with things where I'm like, I look at it in the cold light of day. The next day I'm like, I'm never gonna wear it. Like, come on. So
I tend to go for something small or cheap these days, like a sticker or I guess a face mask. Because at a certain point I was like, how many beanies do I really need? You know? But I've done something kind of cool where I have about 36 or so Irish beer t-shirts, and we're making a quilt that has at least 24 panels, like a t-shirt quilt. So I think for something like that the size doesn't really matter, even if it's worn to the gym or as pajama top.
A smart idea. I've done that with some of my kids' clothes that they've outgrown, but that's smart. I was just looking because I've got a tasting glass for my very first beer festival in 1999. Old. But I was looking back at that one. And again, we'll put a link in the show notes because it's up on the Wayback Machine. But I almost kind of feel like I sort of imprinted on that festival. It was the Mountain View Small Brewers Festival in Northern California. And they gave you a beautiful tasting glass. But I can remember going to that, wanted to try everything, being like, how come everyone here is an older dude with a beard? Which is what it was like back then. And that was like it. I was one of like two women there. Mm-hmm. And all the beers had sort of slightly like D&D kind of names. They were all named after dragons or, you know, it was adorable in retrospect. But I remember coming home with like two just enormous men's t-shirts because that's just, what there was. And I feel like I've repeated that pattern, you know, over over the years. But yeah, somewhere still have the glass and still have some shirts I bought there. But I actually have a really nice shirt from the Oregon one. Again, it's funny. The shirt is really well fitted, but it has two like blokes with the beards on them, where it's just like it's at that point you just have to go with it. It's just fun.
Yeah,
so. Yeah.
And I have some of the little mugs from the Oregon Brewers Fest as well. Yeah. And they're great because they're plastic, so you can give them to kids. They're great for the nice. Kids. They're great. Absolutely. And they bounce. They're brilliant.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, I would buy glassware and maybe t-shirts or mugs or something
and
like that.
And I like it when they give away the stickers and maybe like beer mats where you can just like, you know, come home with a bag. I mean, that's my other actually festival pro tip is to wear a cycling top because you've got the little pockets in the back. Mm-hmm. And if you're coming home with beer mats and stickers, you're just like stick them in the back and you don't need to carry anything. So and you can also put in have a water bottle too so that you're not having to rely on other people. So pro tip.
Yeah.
And I would like to know, like post COVID, you know, what do we want to see our beer festivals like in terms of cleanliness or hand sanitizers
My God. One of the things that I'm loving about post COVID life or COVID life in Ireland is table service.
Oh my God. Right. Yeah.
I know. And I do know it gets rid of some of the spontaneity of chatting to randomers at the bar and stuff, but oh my, it's so good. I love it.
I really like it too. I agree. I don't know, Carolyn, how is it in Texas? I feel like you guys are probably...
We're open. I mean, the Wild West, everything's open. I mean, they still do, some places do a better job at social distancing tables than others. I mean, that's just but most people are back. I mean, Austin, so most people are vaccinated.
Yeah.
I mean, the third shot is out right now. So, I mean, yeah. It's, I mean, everything's open. I went to a brewery and a distillery yesterday. I mean, they were both outside. So, but for the most part, they try to have, it's just too hot. Which actually, yesterday was perfect, it was perfect. But normally it's just too hot to be outside.
Oh my God. I literally turned on my heating for the first time since last spring. Today, because it's chilly today.
It was.
I could smell someone's coal fire as I was walking.
But things I like to get. It's a big North American things. Is koozies. They're easy. If I lose it, I have like a pile of ones that I don't really want to lose, and then I have a pile of ones I don't care about. So it's just kind of nice to like have some, just to like, if I lose it, I lose it. And anytime I go to concerts or whatever, I'll grab a koozie just because it's easy to carry.
Yeah,
it's not a t-shirt. Like if I lose it, it's like $2 or $5. I'm not gonna be mad about it, but like versus a t-shirt I have to carry. I'm with Erica. I try to get little stuff because I don't want to have to carry it all day.
Sure. Yeah, I get stickers, like love stickers because small, even like bottle openers are nice, but not the cheap ones that fall apart. Like no one
right
wants
now.
That.
No, ones
that don't actually fit the bottle lid.
Those.
What were you saying, Erica?
Well, Hope Beer sent me a free one with a merchandise order recently, and it's kind of like the size of a credit card, and it's metal, and I'll never lose it. Like it's just very sturdy, won't break, and it looks cool. Like it has one of their logos on it.
I think I've got a Rye River one that's very similar.
Oh, very
it's
good.
Nice more of those.
Sturdy. Yeah,
more of those.
Nice. Yeah,
if you're listening, small though. We want more. Small.
Yeah, we like these. We're gonna manifest
more credit
these
card
PA.
Size.
And again, the metal, so they're not gonna break. It's really solid. It's nice. You know, again, you can put your logo on it, make it really attractive. It doesn't have to be this cheap like plastic kind of a thing. You know?
And it's not like an uber hipster.
Yeah.
Bottle opener. I think I got one once that was just basically a nail in a little bit of wood.
Oh.
And I tried to open beers with it and it just didn't work. I was like, no.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I you know, like you say, like I'm looking forward to the festivals being kind of, you know, relatively small in terms of numbers, but just so you don't get those big crowds. But I do kind of miss that thing where there's one of those things that everyone knows that like the one beer is the one everyone at this festival wants to get. And there's kind of a queue for the one beer. But again, I like it if it's sort of, you know, timed tickets so you can get there early, try that beer before it's, It's jam-packed. And yeah. I think at the Midlands Beer Festival a couple of weeks ago here in Ireland, I know there was one of those beers where that thing happened. Because I feel like that's sort of a staple of every festival. It has to be the one beer that everyone's lines up for, and then they run out of it. And it's just kind of a tradition. It's kind of a ritual. It's nice.
Yeah. At the RDS, that was definitely the Trouble pumpkin brew. Like it sold out underway. Very quickly. That's right.
They're making it right now. So
I'm sorry, Katie. I think I talked over you there.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
I am. So I have tickets. I'm going to the Oktoberfest in Dead Center.
Oh, yes.
Oh, cool.
Now, it's not because of our restrictions in Ireland. It's not until the end of October. But yeah, okay. Something to look forward to. So I have dusted off my outfit. You know, absolutely. I'll be looking forward to it.
If you see me there,
say hi.
I would have been there if it hadn't been for I will have no childcare that weekend. So otherwise.
It's a fun spot, and Athlone is easy to get to on the train. So
Yeah.
I have never been. Well, I have been to Athlone. I've never been to Dead Center, though.
Yeah. They have a really cool space that has a patio along the river, and
that's nice. Oh, wonderful. Well, I think we're about to wrap up. I don't know. Anyone have anything else they're looking forward to, or any other beer festival pro tips?
Well, I would like to see something come back to the Dunleary Ferry Terminal because that was just around the harbor, and they had food trucks, which I think post-COVID would be nicer than the ones in the convention center or the RDS. And I'm looking forward to going to Vienna. I'll be there for the Christmas markets. So,
that'll be
wonderful. Yeah.
Excellent. How about you, Carolyn?
Nope. I mean, just October. I mean, Worst Fest.
You're trucking on. You're trucking on.
it's in November, and it's our homecoming game for school. Which nobody. Okay. I mean, I don't go to the game, but just to see random people. So.
Oh, I love it. I don't know. Maybe I'll do a beer festival in my back garden. So y'all are welcome to come over, and you know, we can just.
I'll be there in spirit.
I'll be there.
You can zoom me in.
We'll zoom you in. I love it.
Yeah. Or we could go like ABBA and hologram you in or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, digital. Wonderful. Well, we will go ahead and wrap up. So thank you so much to Katie, Carolyn, and Erica. And again, like, subscribe at Beer Ladies Pod or at Beer Ladies Podcast. We really appreciate all of you listening, liking, subscribing. And with that, we will say goodbye. So thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
See ya.
Prost.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.